Thank you, Brother Maxwell. I tell you what, that's a good analogy. You get touched by the Master's hand, it makes a difference. Appreciate that, Brother Jesse. How many of you hear Brother Jesse on the radio? He's almost a Lone Ranger down there since Brother Keith had to leave, but doing a good job, and we appreciate that special by him there. I want you to open your Bible with me, if you would, to go first. I'm going to send you to two places briefly this morning. I want you to go to Mark chapter 15, and then I want you to go to Hebrews 9, and then I want you to hold your place, especially in Hebrews 9. Go with me to Mark chapter 15, pick up two verses, verse 37 and 38. And the scene here is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Mark 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Mark 15, pick it up in verse 37. Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. I'll get around to explaining the verses maybe a little bit later. Hebrews chapter 9. Now that's the one you're going to have a little harder trouble finding, right? So keep on going over to your right. Get through the epistles and over through the Timothy's and Titus and Philemon. Get on down to Hebrews and go to chapter 9. And I want you to pick it up here in verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 9. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, over in Mark, it said that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Most of you know what that was. It was a big curtain. It was a big curtain several inches thick that hung between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. All of that's explained in Hebrews chapter 9. And he could only go in there one time. He had to go in there with the right sacrifice, with the right blood of the lamb without blemish. He had to himself be ceremonially clean, no hidden sin in his life, or God would kill him when he went into the holy place. There was no light in there. It was only God's light that would shine in the Holy of Holies. And so when Jesus died on the cross and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, it says from the top to the bottom, which means it flew open and opened up that place that nobody could see in before. That place that had never been open before to the common man was now open after the crucifixion. Now, what I want to say is I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on what was behind the curtain. What many things that are behind the curtain today that was hid behind the veil. Most of the time today, we don't see veils as much as the old timers did. See them at funerals sometime. See them at weddings sometime. You know what I'm talking about? A veil over the face. Remember Moses had to have one when he came down off of Mount Sinai because of the glory of God shining on his face. Speaking about seeing him at a wedding, I heard about a preacher that he married this couple. And the groom had already given him $20 for the wedding. And when the preacher said, lift the veil and kiss your bride, he gave him back $10 change. Now, I'm playing with you ladies some just a little bit, but sometimes what's behind the veil, amen, is important. And have you ever been in a place where you know, we see plays, used to be more than now, and you still see it on the TV and all, but you see where the curtain rises or the curtain's pulled apart. You ever remember any of the experience where you feared what was behind the curtain? I remember one time I was in junior high school, and I had a teacher I liked. I did have one or two I liked. I ain't sure they liked me, but anyway, This teacher, she was an old maid teacher. If I called her name, some of you probably had her. She was a great lady. Died, I think, up in her 90s. But Sister Etheridge was over the drama club. And somehow or another, she got her eye on me, and she said, "I want you to join the drama club. We got a play coming." And I didn't want to do it, but I liked her enough, I did it for her. And the name of the play, I never forget the name of the play. Can't remember much more about it, but the name of the play was Poison Ivy. And the Poison Ivy was the wife I was supposed to be married to in the play. That's why I hated to see the curtain come up. Because it had come up with me sitting at a dining room table with this play actor wife. I'm sure she was as disgusted with it as I was. But me and this girl were sitting at the table, and when the curtain come up, I feared what was on the other side in the audience. It was my friends. It was my co-ball players. It was the razzing I was going to take. As soon as that curtain came up and saw me sitting there at that table, supposed to be the husband of that girl, boy, it was just what I expected on the other side of the curtain, too. As soon as it come up, I feared what was on the other side of that thing. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelation 6, there's going to come a time God's going to pull the curtain back. He's going to roll the heavens back as a scroll. And the Bible tells us there's going to be great fear on the earth, that the great men and the bondmen, all of them are going to fear so much to look up and see God behind the curtain, that they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. It's going to be some awful day for them to face. Now, you know, in our day and time, there's a lot of stuff behind the curtain. Now, we don't know the whole thing. There's a credibility gap so many times. In the past, we don't know all about the past. America has gotten where it's perverting and rewriting the history and messing our country up because we lost our connection to our foundation, no doubt about that. But we don't know a lot about the past. We know warfare took over in the big thing in the past. Listen, warfare started in the first book of the Bible. It started in the earliest scene of the Bible when man and woman was in the garden, and when Satan was able to get advantage of Eve and bring down the race into sin. The truth is, warfare started right as soon as God showed up and made a promise of the promised seed, the seed of the woman, that would bruise the serpent's head. Warfare has been going on ever since. See, warfare physically is only really an image of what warfare is spiritually. If you could look behind the scenes, you would understand that. Paul said in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in high places. That's a spiritual warfare. It went on from the Garden of Eden on. Do you know it went on from Adam right on up to the flood? You know why God had to flood the world? Because evil. He said the imagination of man's heart's only evil from his youth up. And he brought the flood. And do you understand that a lot of times we forget this. We read about Adam, and then we just leave him alone. Adam lived a long time. Over 900 years. You know what that means? That means his life overlapped with a lot of others. Do you know that Adam was still alive when Noah was a young man? Somebody says, how do we know the Bible's right? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and how could he talk about the creation? How could he talk about man being made? How could he talk about what happened? I'll tell you why, because it was passed down accurately from Adam on. I may also say this, folks, they lived a long time. Do you understand something today? Here's what happens. We might have a great scientist. He might live to be 80 years old and he dies. He can leave all behind as much as he can, but what if he could live 900 years? Huh? Do you understand? Don't sell the ancient people too short. They had a lot more smarts than most of us could ever imagine. And there's a lot of things back in history that is covered behind the curtain that we don't understand. And the truth is, if you just take the Bible literally and believe what it says, a lot of it will clear up. In Genesis 6, there was extraterrestrials that showed up. Did you ever read that? Oh, it don't call them ETs. It calls them the sons of God, but they were the fallen angels that showed up and cohabited with women and produced giants on the earth. You said, where did all these buildings come from? These big blocks that a man can't pick up even with a machine. And these big temples and all of this stuff and the pyramids and all this stuff. There was a generation back there that had the power to do that behind the curtain. History is kind of behind a curtain. We don't understand, don't know all about it, but we know that it took place. You think about the mystery of the pyramids. The old big pyramid over there in Giza, or however you say it. It's quite interesting. All the other pyramids had bodies in them. They were tombs. That one don't. That one was built for another purpose that they're still debating today. They're not all sure about it. They're arguing about it today. And I don't know, claim to know, Josephus. Anybody ever met Josephus? I hope not. But he lived in about 70 A.D. He was eyewitness to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem under the Romans. Josephus is a history writer that even the secular world, he was a Jew. He was a Jew that kind of sided with the Romans after they took him captive and was literally eyewitness to the Romans as they destroyed Jerusalem in A.D. 70. And Josephus has volumes of books that you can read. And Josephus gives some interesting things. He goes back to the early beginning in the Bible, back to Genesis, back even to Adam. And he says that Adam wrote that the world would be destroyed with water because of their evil. That did happen in the days of Noah. He also wrote at the other end, Adam wrote that it would also be destroyed with fire. And according to Josephus, he put two pillars with it engraved, with the story engraved in the rocks, one of them made out of brick, one of them made out of stone, and there's a lot of folks believe the Great Pyramid is part of what Adam left as a testimony. I don't know. Others believe Job, for instance, built the pyramid. They don't know. They can't figure how. But there's some writings among the Egyptians where one Egyptian priest, I won't try to pretend I didn't pronounce his name, but I've read where he wrote there was a time that the deity, speaking of God, was mad at us. We had to get rid of all of our idols. And God sent some special people. He called them shepherd kings. And they came in and they believed from that priest's writing that the pyramid was built. I know Herodias said it was built by 100,000 men in 20 years, but that's his guess. But this Egyptian priest said some special people, they were called shepherds. And he said they came and built it. If it had to be anybody in your Bible at all, it would be Job. And Job might be even the builder of the pyramid. But the whole thing I'm saying to you is there's a curtain there. We don't understand it all. But I want to tell you, don't be deceived. They don't look out for this bunch that picks up a tooth somewhere or a bone somewhere. And they say it's 100 billion years old. You can put their brain in a mosquito, he'd fly backwards. They don't know what they're talking about. No, they don't. I remember when they picked up a bone out in Arizona and declared it was a missing tooth from the missing link man, and it was 100 billion years old, and turned out it was a hog's tooth, and it wasn't very old at all. You got to watch out for that junk. I got no respect for that crowd. All they're doing is trying to dodge the Bible and hang up a curtain and try to pretend they know what's behind it when they don't know what's behind it. Just as dumb as a brick in many, many cases. Adam may have set up the pillars, according to Josephus. Maybe he did. I want to say to you, there's somewhat a curtain over the past, and yet we can go to the Word of God and we can understand there is an unseen world there. For instance, in 2 Kings chapter 6, you read over there where Elisha's servant went out and saw all the armies of the Syrians come to get Elisha. He was scared to death. He run back in, and Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. You remember the story? And when he opened his eyes, the hills and the mountains was filled with God's army, God's chariots. And Elisha went out and struck the king and the army blind and sent them on their way. And the whole truth of the matter is there is a spiritual world you and I don't see, but it's there behind the curtain. as it were. That's been true in the past. It's true in the present. It's true now. There's a curtain in America today. And by the way, America is not the only nation, but America is the nation that leads the way. And the other nations will rise or fall depending on the success of America. God raised America up in the latter days. It's not the oldest nation. And we're in a heap of trouble today. And there's a curtain over the truth today in America. I mean, in the present, there's a curtain. Inside today, without us seeing it, behind the curtain, sabotage is going on. To destroy a nation. You ever hear the word deep state? You say, there goes that preacher with a conspiracy theory. Well, I've peeked a little bit behind the curtain. And the truth of the matter is there is a deep state, a dark state that is an anti-old-fashioned American state that is trying to control everything that goes on today in America. If you could pull the curtain back, you'd find out they want to impeach the president, they want to declare him mentally incompetent or anything, and if that don't work, now put a mark, not on the pew, in your Bible or somewhere there. Put a mark, you heard it first at Landmark, from that crazy preacher down there. If nothing else works, there is a plot, there is a plan to assassinate the president. They got to get him out one way or the other. And all the viciousness, all the fierce hate that you're saying is more than man, is spiritual. It's satanic. America is the leading nation they want to pull down because we are standing in the way of the worldwide plan of the Antichrist to build the one world government and to institute the one world religion. And that heads up in our president as he is not cooperating. He is rocking the boat. He is not going along with the crowd. He's not playing by the rules. Listen, both Democratic Party, I'm going to start calling them the Socialist Party. But anyway, they and a number of Republicans all in the group that would like to see him put down because the one world kingdom is what they want to establish. And it was well on track. It's not politics. I'm tying this to the Bible. I get accused, hey, preaching politics. No, I'm preaching righteousness according to the Word of God. Get on one side or the other and quit pretending, brother. You can't have it both ways. You either, Ronald Reagan said, you're either for truth or you're for evil. You're for good or for evil. And that's what we are seeing in the warfare today. Behind the curtain is good and evil in a struggle. And our nation is in the balance of that. The deep state, dark state, is out there. If you could pull the curtain back, you'd see it. Yeah, they want to pull a coup d'etat. Now, I'm going to use the word coup rather than coup d'etat, but it's basically what's on the plan. The military has already been challenged, and I want to tell you right now, so far, and you better pray and keep praying that the military stays on the right side. And right now, they're on the right side. And that's really messing them up. Why? The one world religion, the one world government, the one world under the Antichrist, that's what they want. And if they can't get that, yeah, they would assassinate him and everything else, because that is the plan and that's the satanic hate that we're seeing right now. And truth of the matter is, if you could see behind the curtain, some of the stuff that's going on, it would explain some of the evening news to you a lot better. You'd understand it a lot better. I'll get off of that except to say, behind the curtain, there's things you don't see behind the curtain. Did you ever go to a little party for kids when we tried to pull a little magic and stuff and we done something behind the curtain? Sure, something in secret. That's the devil's trick today. And the deception is big, folks, and it's very real. I want to say to you, there's been a curtain over the past. And don't get hung up on, the earth is millions of years old. No, it isn't. God created it. It probably had the appearance of age when he created it. Don't you think so? Let me ask you this. Was Adam created as a baby?
No.
He was probably created about, we'd guess, probably in prime life, probably a 30-year-old man, maybe 33. Jesus in his ministry, he was about from 30 to 33, and maybe so. But when Adam was created, did he look like a baby or a 30-year-old man? See the appearance of age? How about some of the rest of it? Amen. When they landed, supposedly they landed the machine on the moon, and then I assume they did. There are some square earth folks that don't think so, but anyway, I think probably they did. And they put out the thing, they had the big wide tires on it, they built it special, because the moon had to be so old, all these millions and millions of years, that space dust was going to be so thick on top of the moon, it'd be like taking the lid off of an old-fashioned flour barrel, and if you dropped a coin in it, it would go right on down and sink, wouldn't it? So they feared the moon dust. Guess what? When they landed on that thing, just 2 or 3 inches. Not several million years worth, but about enough dust that might have accumulated in about 5 or 6,000 years. Just blows the theories all to pieces every now and then like that. Don't doubt your Bible. Go with the Word of God. My friend, that's safe ground, and one day it'll prove out. And the Bible speaks of science, and I'm not against real science, but real science is not much paid any attention to today. It's mostly theory. The Bible says, warns against science falsely so called. That's the text Paul wrote to Timothy. Science falsely so called. Be careful there, because behind that curtain, of so-called science, is to keep you from believing in God as the creator. Amen. Let me say this. There's a curtain over the future. Not only the past and the present, but there's a curtain, something behind the curtain of the future. You know what it is? Behind the curtain, now in the future is going to repeat the past in this way. What did Noah do? He warned of a flood. What did God do? He flooded them out because the imagination of the heart was on evil from the youth up. What's he going to do? What did Adam say? He said one time it'll be destroyed by water and the next time by fire. And God is going to have to bring judgment again, just like he did in Noah's day. And that's why Jesus said that in his coming it'd be like the days of Noah. You're getting quiet on me, but it's the truth. I can't preach here. I'll go somewhere else and preach. Truth of the matter is, most of you folks, I'm preaching to the choir, and I know that. God is going to destroy in judgment again, because we're building up to the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Days of Lot was Sodom and Gomorrah. Days of Lot was homosexuality. Days of Lot in Sodom, they were probably teaching their kids in kindergarten they could choose which gender they wanted. That's what they're doing in America right now. Billy Graham said many, many years ago, if God did not judge America, he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's not in the apologizing business. The truth of the matter is, the future may have a curtain over it, but you and I can understand, we can have the Bible that gives us light and brings us in behind the curtain. God is going to judge sin. It's predicted in the Word of God all the way from Adam, Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Remember what he said? God would come with 10,000s of his soldiers, his army, to destroy the filthy talkers and the dreamers, the evil. Read it in the book of Jude. But the fire is involved also. I'm going to turn to it. You probably don't have time. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read something. I'm going to read one verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I read that slow. Did you get it? The heavens, the earth are now in store, kept in store. What are they waiting on? It says, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Listen, sin always brings its own punishment. There's a time coming Nobody's going to escape the judgment of God. They're going to have to face. And it's held in reserve, says, against ungodly men. Boy, we are living in a nation today where ungodliness is promoted. It's amazing today. We've moved to the day Isaiah the prophet spoke of when he said they'd call good evil and evil good. That's where it's at right now. But you know, before that takes place, you and I have got a personal veil we've got to face. And that's what I read to you in Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to look at it again. Do you see, in the Holy of Holies was the wholeness of God, a sinless God, a God who could not tolerate sin. So that tabernacle was a picture. There was the holy place. Then there was the Holy of Holies no man could enter into. The priest only one time a year with the blood. Now, I started off in Mark with the temple, veil in the temple being rent in twain. Now look at me just a minute. What happened on the cross? Jesus died. He gave himself. He was the sacrifice. He shed his blood. And the veil in the temple was rent in twain. It was open. Jesus made access where the sinner could go in under the blood that he shed on the cross. Now come back to Hebrews 9, and if you read the whole chapter of Hebrews 9, you'd get the detail. But I want to get back to what I read. But Christ being come as a high priest, replacing that Jewish high priest, a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, one in heaven, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now watch this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for who? For us, it says. You know something? I'm going in one day in the holy presence of God Almighty, because I'm going to go in under the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my Savior. He made the way open. He's the one went in. He is my high priest. He is the one when he offered himself on the cross that split the veil of the temple in two. And now I have in Hebrews 9 tell me what happened. And now it's open. Now I have a high priest that shed his blood for my redemption. And I can go in. We have a song here some of the folks sang sometime about now I could go in. The only way you're going in, it's through Jesus Christ. You're not going to go in on your good deeds and your works or your church membership or being a good neighbor or a good family person. No, you've got to have every sin forgiven. And the only way it can be forgiven is on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And one day you'll stand in the holy presence of God Almighty only if you stand in your Savior in his shed blood. You're not going to make it on your goodness. You're not going to make it on who you know or where you're from or how much money you got or how good you think you are. It's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ to get you into the holy presence of God. Do you have that today? Have your sins forgiven? Are they under the blood of Christ? Is he your Savior? You know, you can make a decision. You can side with the theories of the world and all the mysteries they can bring up. There wouldn't be very many mysteries in this world if they just give God credit for the things that belong to him. But you decide with them, or you can believe what God says about it. I'm going to take what God said. He said the only way in was on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he gave his son to die on the cross. That's what split the veil of the temple. That's what made it open to me. It's open to you if you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Right now, small crowd today, many I hope out listening in radio land. Right now, there's people out there going to make a decision. Try to go in their way or the Jesus way. Try to face God in their own works and goodness, or face God represented by the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood he shed for our sins. That's the struggle. That's the decision. Ask yourself right now, have I made the right decision? Have I been putting off the decision? Behind the curtain, if you could see in spiritual places, in fact, if you could see in the underground of the evil world, you might see something like this. Stories told, a preacher had a dream. I guess it, a man told him this. I believe the man had the dream. He said that he'd rejected Christ, heard the invitation, heard the gospel, but said no. And told the preacher, I just told you that I would put it off. I'd wait. I wasn't quite ready yet. Ever hear that one? Not quite ready yet? That's a common one. Preachers hear that a lot. This fellow told the preacher that he had a dream that night. And he dreamed he went down, as it were, into the pit of hell or into the Satan's area. He said Satan was having a meeting with all his little devils, all his emissaries. And Satan was talking to him about how to keep man lost. And Satan was asking for ideas. And the man said, Satan asked, who will go to earth? And what will you say to keep man lost from receiving Christ? And one demon stepped up and he said, I'll go tell them the Bible's not the word of God. It's fiction. Satan said, I don't think that'll work. There's just too much evidence otherwise. I don't believe that's the answer. Another demon hopped up and he said, I'll go tell them that just be good and everything will be all right. They don't need a savior. Satan said, no, I don't think that'll work either, because he said, you know, deep within them, they'll be convicted. They're just not going to ever know they're good enough. They're always going to doubt. I don't think that's the plan. Several others popped up with several ideas, the man said, and then one demon stepped up and said, I got the answer. Satan said, let's hear it. He said, here's the answer. I'll go to earth. I'll tell them the Bible is the word of God. I'll tell them Jesus is the Savior. I'll tell them the blood is the only way to have your sins forgiven. He said, I will tell them they can't go to heaven unless they accept Jesus. But I'll tell them. You don't have to do it now. You got plenty of time. And Satan said, I believe that one will work. And that's what's been working and working and working for a long, long time. Has it been working on you? When's the first time you heard the gospel? When's the first time you said, I ought to get saved, but later, I got a long time, I got things to do, and later. When did you first hear the gospel? Has that devil's excuse been the one you've been using, the one you've been believing that's kept you back from receiving Christ? If you could pull the curtain back and look in right this minute into a devil's meeting over your soul, I wonder if that wouldn't be the very thing they're whispering in your ear right now. Not today. Wait till a special day. Not today. You got plenty of time. The Bible says, he that hardeneth his neck, resist, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You put it off too long, and there'll be no second chance. Today may not be your second chance. It may have been your 10th or your 20th or your 100th. I don't know. But are you using the same thing you've been using to reject Jesus? My friend, if you could see behind the curtain, you'd leave that seat and you'd run to the front to receive Jesus Christ. I believe you would. I pray if you're here today or in Radio Land without Christ, the only way into his holy presence, God's holy presence, behind the curtain, behind the veil, is Jesus Christ that split it by making that sacrifice of himself on the cross of Calvary. Do you know him as Savior? I pray you do. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I do know him as Savior? That means I know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Not because I'm good, but because he was good in my place. Can you say I know him? I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can you do that with the uplifted hand all over the building? Can you say that? Can you say that honestly and truthfully? Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here today and you'd say, preacher, I would fear that day to go behind the curtain. I'd fear that day to step in the presence of a holy God. I could not do that. I have no covering. I have not placed my sins onto the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you slip that hand up and say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I've been listening to the devil's excuse. I've been putting it off. I've been saying, not quite ready yet. Got plenty of time. Have you been saying that? Would you lift your hand while heads are bowed? I'm looking. God's looking. I won't call your name, but I'll have you in my heart and mind, and I'll pray for you if you'll lift that hand and say, I need to be saved. That's me. That's me. Would you slip it up? Very well, let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Lord, you see hearts where we can only see hands. But Father, we've briefly hit on some truths this morning. Nobody can come into your holy presence without the shed blood of Jesus Christ covering their sins. I pray you'd bless in the invitation. Somebody may need to do something else, come for baptism or move a membership or something else. But dear God, I pray not one soul in this building would leave lost today. Help them to see, get a glimpse what's behind the curtain. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll receive Christ as Savior, will you meet me right here? I pray you will. Just as I